Pop Spotting 155.
Friday, October 28th, 2011.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
It's Feedback Friday, where our listeners set the menu, and it looks like this week you're hungry for both movie and book talk.
So let's start with the movies. Cheryl in Canada on Facebook writes, I agree with nearly all you both said and concluded about Ides of March. The movie is good and even has a somewhat engaging story, but it is not great, and it did seem like it could have been more. Oh well. Personally, I am never a fan of George Clooney on or off screen. He leaves me cold. His acting is predictable and weak in my eyes, although he did suit his part in that Michael Clayton movie. But I always love Evan Rachel Wood, and Paul Giamatti and his pivotal role was terrific, as you mentioned. Marissa Tomei was her usual gutsy self, and P.S. Hoffman is better than this movie for sure. With Ryan Gosling, I am always drawn to him. He is moody and layered and intense. I am happy to see any movie he is in. Well, sounds like Cheryl and you have a lot in common.
What are you talking about? He's not my celebrity crush.
I'm talking about the lady who still hasn't deleted The Notebook off our TiVo. But unfortunately, I mean, certainly somebody's picked up on that for sure.
Faith in Tennessee writes, Ryan, I gather you're not the biggest fan of Ryan Gosling, but I'll see nearly anything he's in. I'm probably going to skip Ides of March because I'm not too fond of political movies, but I would recommend you see The Believer, then turn around and watch Gosling in Fracture. He definitely plays two different roles, at least to me. But I love John Cusack. I've seen nearly every movie he's been in. My double feature would be Gross Point Blank and Better Off Dead. Also, if you haven't seen it, check out Grace is Gone. It's a heartbreaking story about a man losing his soldier wife. John Cusack is amazing, and I bawled like a baby.
So let's start with Gosling. I mean, another fan here. And I, you know what? I give you a lot of grief because I'm not sure you're really into him for his acting ability.
I
but
am.
We've seen Lars and the Real Girl. Yes. I mean, he's done some really good performances. But I do still feel strongly that some of the roles he's put in are not good matches for
him. He's the best thing in Fracture. Fracture is a movie that I really enjoy a lot. I've yet to see The Believer. The premise of The Believer makes me a little bit squeamish, but I agree. I enjoy his acting.
Well, there's going to be more Gosling in your life. He's been very busy this year, and his upcoming film is Gangster Squad. It's set in 1940, so you get to see him all dressed up and dapper, I'm sure. He's going to be with Sean Penn, Emma Stone, Nick Nolte, Josh Brolin, that's coming out next year, and he's already got a project lined up in 2013 called Place Beyond the Pines. And talk about stretching his wings as an actor, he's going to be making a leap from playing a stunt driver who robs banks in Drive, which we talked about, to a motorcycle rider who robs banks.
Gross Point Blank and Better Off Dead are two of my favorite movies. Both of them are incredibly quotable, but we did see Grace is Gone. I don't know, I had such a hard time with Grace is Gone. It really made me very emotional, and I think I might have to see it a second time through clearer eyes to really get a feel for how I like it.
Well, it was a great performance for John Cusack, and your brain takes a little while to get into that because you really put him in that sort of mindset, that whole
right.
Say anything mindset. To see him in that role is a fantastic brain exercise. Further on Ides of March, we heard from our friend here in Honolulu, Neens. Writes on the blog, I usually don't see movies in their opening weekend. However, this one had been on my radar for months, so there was no stopping me. Temptations of Power blur the line between politics and morality, and in this movie, with each twist and revelation, it was tough for the characters to focus. I too was disappointed in the plot crisis. It was just too cliche and left me saying, seriously? That's the juiciest crisis in politics.
Greg in Seattle writes on Facebook, Jen mentioned Philip Seymour Hoffman and that he should work with Paul Thomas Anderson again. He is. Their next film together is currently titled The Master and is loosely based on Hoffman playing an L. Ron Hubbard type and building his new religion in the 50s. It should be out next year. Can't wait.
Yeah, I can't wait either. I mean, yes, you did mention that those two make magic together. Philip Seymour Hoffman with Paul Thomas Anderson. They did Hard Eight. They did Magnolia, they did Punch Drunk Love, and so this sounds really exciting, and the reason why I'm really excited about it is this is the movie that Scientology doesn't want you to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and certainly they say that Scientology runs Hollywood. There are already rumors about this movie not moving forward as quickly as it could. Of course, it's not called Scientology in the movie, it's called The Cause, but certainly people have noticed a certain physical similarity between P.S. Hoffman and L. Ron Ron Hubbard. The movie is also going to star Joaquin Phoenix, Amy Adams, and Laura Dern.
Sounds great.
Absolutely. Laura in Massachusetts writes on Facebook, "You mentioned on a recent podcast that you might be interested in watching some Bollywood-type movies. These aren't considered Bollywood, but I can highly recommend the following two movies by Indian director Meera Nair, Monsoon Wedding and The Namesake. I loved them both." So this was Paul Fox when he was on our show in September, and he talked about Bollywood films. These aren't, but I've heard a lot of great things about them. I kind of feel ashamed that I haven't seen them. Do you know?
Yeah, well, they're all on our queue. I really don't know much about either one of them.
Well, you know, Monsoon Wedding was the film that came out after Kama Sutra, a little more controversial than necessarily not as good film by Meera Nair, so maybe I didn't really give it that chance. I mean, Roger Ebert loved it. He kind of said that it was up there with Crouching Tiger for China and for, you know, a really good breakthrough film for a specific region or country. And as for Namesake, another film that I heard a lot of great things about. In fact, it really resonated with some of my friends here in Honolulu. I mean, certainly not specifically because they were Indian, but I think when you're talking about any story that explores a very traditional sort of previous generation and high expectations for the next generation, I mean, it resonated with folks. And that came out in 2006. It starred Cal Penn. And although you didn't know her from Lost at the time, it also stars Zuleika Robinson well as one of the love interests with Jacinda Barrett. So as Jen said, both these films, Monsoon Wedding and The Namesake, are in our Netflix queue.
Sarah in Toronto writes on Facebook, "I've only heard good things about Three Idiots. It's on my list."
And it's on our list as well. Three Idiots, based, as I think Paul Fox pointed out, on a book called 5 Point Someone. Mm-hmm. I just kind of got dragged down a rabbit hole on the internet because of some kind of controversy as far as how much the movie was based on the book. And now I'm trying to figure out if I want to read the book or see the movie first. Al Ross writes on Facebook, "Great Lloyd Dobler podcast. Although I'm not a big Say Anything fan," yes, I know, heresy, "and I haven't seen High Fidelity yet, High Fidelity is on my 2C list, and I'm willing to take another look at Say Anything 10 years on from the last viewing."
You won't regret it.
"Thanks to your show." No, you won't. "I posted a review of Weird Science from John Hughes and Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil with John Cusack on your blog. Neither of these flicks were the best of the Johns, whether we're talking Hughes or Cusack, but both are quirky, take a few chances, bring a smile to my face each time I watch them, and take some very good actors to interesting places where they can stretch their wings a bit."
I have a friend who loves the novel Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, but hates the movie, so I'm a little bit wary.
Yeah, but I mean, a good combination, an interesting combination there, and I will have to make a confession too. I mean, Weird Science, it is one of those landmark films in terms of the 80s, in terms of geek culture, but I've never been able to get into it as much as a lot of my peers. So, you know, as long as we're making confessions, yes, though, Al Ross, you have to give Say Anything another chance. I actually enjoy it more now with all of this history behind it than I did when I first saw it. If you want to read Al Ross's review or his special double feature, I mean, I think it's great that he's actually posting his own reviews. You can find that on our blog for episode 141, and the short link to jump there is j.mp/pop141.
Stella in the Philippines writes on the blog,
Stella.
"I want to suggest a potential double feature for Cameron Crowe's movies, since he does have a movie coming out called We Bought a Zoo. My pairing, Singles and Almost Famous." I don't know how you guys feel about Almost Famous, but I actually liked Singles a lot, even if some of the grunge songs on the soundtrack may be a bit dated. Then Vanilla Sky happened, and terrible movie, even with a good but not great soundtrack. I doubt that he ever recovered from that. And there's Fast Times at Ridgemont High, too. I saw it on TV once. It was pretty gut-wrenching for a teen movie, even with a topless Phoebe Cates. Maybe you can throw Vanilla Sky in with it just for laughs.
So how about that? Singles and Almost Famous, or Fast Times at Ridgemont High with Vanilla Sky. Both really interesting pairings, I thought.
You know, the funny thing is about Fast Times at Ridgemont High, everybody really lumps it in with those 80s teen movies like 16 Candles and Weird Science, but it's such a hard movie to watch.
Yeah.
I saw it again just recently on cable, and there's so many storylines and so many really, really dark moments that it stands out for me. And people were saying the same thing about another 80s teen movie, The Last American Virgin, and I'm thinking maybe that would make a great double feature, just that kind of 80s teen movie that gets really dark.
Yeah, I mean, things that you might even forget about those films. Here in Honolulu, they do something called called the Hana Ho Picture Show each month at Consolidated Theaters, the main theater at Ward Center. You can vote to bring back your favorite movies to watch on the big screen. They've done Gremlins, they've done Back to the Future, they've done Ghostbusters, and every time they do this vote, sometimes Fast Times at Ridgemont High comes up, and what I find fascinating is that everybody says, I want to see that scene on the big screen. Mm-hmm. But I think that's what everybody focuses on, and they don't remember the more disturbing stuff, the more uncomfortable stuff, the creepiest love scene ever. I mean, it's not exactly a rip-roaring good time, so I'm really wondering if that movie's ever going to win the vote. How about this movie coming out, Cameron Crowe's next film, We Bought a Zoo? The cast looks great. You've got Matt Damon, you've got Thomas Hayden Church, you've got Colin Ford, Scarlett Johansson, and Elle Fanning among the cast.
Also, Patrick Fugit, who played the kid in Almost Famous.
Yeah, so I think that looks great. It's coming out later this year, December 23rd. We're certainly going to check it out. We're big fans of Cameron Crowe.
We are.
Let's change the subject to books. We've been talking about books lately, and Scott on Facebook writes, thanks for the book recommendations. I just finished Hunger Games, and I'm working through the series now. Ordered Ready Player One based on the show last week.
Cool. Jimmy in Georgia writes on Facebook, thanks to Jen's review, I downloaded the audiobook of Ready Player One from Audible, which has Will Wheaton from Star Trek, The Next Generation narrating.
Like
I'm
that.
Really enjoying it so far. It definitely has an interesting premise and tons of 80s references, which I like. I'm over 7.5 hours into the audio, and it's really good.
I love that Will Wheaton reads it. I mean, it's a geek person kind of introducing people to this geekgasm of a story. I mean, I think that's a perfect pairing. Dawn on Facebook writes, I finished Ready Player One last night. Great book. Thanks to your awesome listeners for the suggestions, and thanks to you guys for the great podcast. Well, it's our pleasure, Dawn.
Yes. Matt writes on the blog, Jen mentioned that she was reading Ready Player One. The premise of the book intrigued me, and I definitely want to read it, but I found this blog post where someone created a soundtrack for the book by listing songs that were referenced in the book. Thought you might be interested.
And this is pretty cool, and actually I think it's on Ernest Cline's official website, so that's ErnestCline.com, and if you go to this post, it was posted just last month, September 21st, the official Ready Player One soundtrack. He's already got links to the full mixtape on Spotify, on Grooveshark, on Ardio, and even probably bootlegged on YouTube, so if you just want to listen through the soundtrack to the book, you can do that. And I love this track list. It opens with Oingo Boingo's Dead Man's Party. It closes with the end credits music from Monty Python and the Holy
Grail.
Love
it.
And it includes one of my favorite songs, Don't Let's Start by They Might Be Giants. Anything else on the track list that caught your eye?
Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper, and of course, In Your Eyes by Peter Gabriel. It's referenced in a very funny paragraph.
All right, so you might want to check that out. We do talk a lot about music on our podcast as well. Daniel B., who was our guest last week, he talked about the Wheel of Time series. He did want to acknowledge the author who has taken over the Wheel of Time series with the passing of the original author, Robert Jordan, and that author is Brandon Sanderson. Daniel says that he has done an amazing job taking over the reins of the series and has fully realized Jordan's vision.
Nicole in Ohio writes on the blog, I think I need to stop listening to your book podcasts.
No.
Now I have a few more to add to my ever-growing to-read list. I have to agree with the Wheel of Time suggestion. Although I'm horribly behind in the series, I've only read up to book 9 and I'm failing miserably at my reread that was supposed to catch me up before the last book comes out next year. Don't take my lack of reading to be indicative of my opinion of the series, because I really do love it. I just can't seem to find the time to read these days, and I've heard that Brandon Sanderson does a great job with the most recent books, and I can't wait to get to them.
Well, thanks, Nicole. So another vote in favor of Daniel's book pick there. And don't worry, I mean, I completely hear you. She says that she's got 3 kids. We've got 3 kids.
Mm-hmm.
I love that you find time to read. It's a priority for you. I guess I need to make it a priority myself. I think, you know, like with Ready Player One, I want to read it. I think the way to go might be that audiobook with Will Wheaton and getting back into Audible. I mean, they're not a sponsor of the show anymore, so it's not like we get anything for plugging them,
mm-hmm.
but they do good stuff, and that might be the way to go. And wow, I can't imagine how many hours of listening the Wheel of Time series must be, even if it's available on Audible. Well, let's change gears for one last piece of feedback, and I think we're going to use it as an excuse to play more music. And this comes from Chris in Florida, who emailed us and said, I'm just back from a long vacation, and while catching up at work, I'm listening to all of your back podcasts that I've missed. I'm going in order, and I've only got to number 133, your top 5 favorite podcasts, and I had to stop, press pause, and write, because I'm so happy you covered this topic. In fact, several times, I've actually wanted to write to you to ask if you were listening to WTF with Marc Maron, so I'm incredibly happy that you already do and picked it as your number one. But I'm finally writing because you also mentioned The Splendid Table. Now, I don't subscribe to the podcast, I just catch it occasionally on the radio, but my favorite member of my favorite band was recently a guest on it, Joe Kwan from the Avett Brothers. Joe is an amazing person. He's a classically trained cellist from Raleigh who joined this band that can only be described as punk slash bluegrass slash folk and is quite the foodie as well. So much so that he has a website, www.tasteontour.com, where he posts his culinary adventures while he tours with the band.
That is cool.
The Avett Brothers are amazing and I really recommend them, especially to you, because it seems to appeal to several of your interests, and those are food and music.
Well, yeah.
So are you familiar with the Avett Brothers?
I've heard of them, and I think I have a couple of tracks of theirs on my iPod, but I'm not as familiar with them as I should be, maybe.
Well, this guy sounds really cool, and I did go out and seek out the segment where he appeared on The Splendid Table. It was on the October 15th episode, and actually, if you go to The Splendid Table website, they let you play each individual segment, so you don't even have to skip around to try and find this guy. He is Korean, but he was raised in North Carolina, so already I think that's an interesting story. Now, our friend Chris in Florida says that she's seen them live actually 5 times, followed them around to different concerts. She says they're fantastic, they're amazing. She also asked, by the way, if you watch Austin City Limits, because they did a performance on that show that was pretty good as well.
I do. The most recent episode that I've seen was with the Avett Brothers and with Mumford & Sons.
Mumford & Sons, and that's kind of bringing it full circle. That was Jeff Gentry's pick that we still listen to quite a bit. So Austin City Limits, a great show, but here, the Avett Brothers, their last album, their most recent one was out last year. It's a live album, and in fact, it's the third live album in a series. It's called Live Volume 3, so I thought before we closed out the show, we'd share a sample of a track from that album, and this song is called Head Full of Doubt, Road Full of Promise. There was a dream. One day I could see it. Like a bird in a cage, I broke in and demanded that somebody free it. And there was a kid with a head full of doubt. So I screamed till I died. I asked for those bad thoughts. Upon you that's flooded in light. In the fine print they tell you what's wrong and what's right. And it flies by day and it flies by night. And I'm frightened by those who don't see. That was the Avett Brothers with Head Full of Doubt, Road Full of Promise, and I like that. Actually, I can pick up some strong similarities with the Mumford & Sons.
I dig it a lot.
It's really cool, and I'm a sucker for anything with strings in it. So once again, thanks, Chris, for the recommendation. We hope everyone else enjoyed it as well. I love Feedback Friday. We love hearing from everybody, friends who've stuck with us over the years, and of course, we really love hearing from new voices. So if you've never reached out in particular, we hope you will consider making first contact today.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can also email us at feedback@popspotting.net, or you can comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
You can also post stuff for the world to see on our Facebook page at facebook.com/popspotting. It's a great place to share ideas, start conversations, favorite quotes. I think Pete Hooper made history this week posting our very first lolcat. So yes, you can even post pictures to our page as well.
I have a crazy idea. Everybody, show us your jack-o'-lanterns.
Yeah, show us your pumpkins or your Halloween costumes. We want to see them. We really like getting to know the community here at Pop Spotting.
You can also connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting.
Your personal account there is Mrs. Hawaii, and my account is Hawaii, and you can look for either of us, Ryan or Jen Ozawa, on Google+.
If you like podcasts as much as we do, we know it's sometimes hard to keep up with them all, and it's a pain in the butt to sync your phone sometimes. iTunes. So fortunately, there is Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a free app for iPhone, Android, and other smartphones that lets you easily stream the latest episode of your favorite podcasts, including ours.
Well, I certainly hope so. We will be back soon with more Pop Talk, but for now, as always, we want to send a thank you to Dan Pashman of the Sporkful Podcast for making our theme song.
And thank you guys for listening to our show. For Pop Spotting, I am Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Multipass.
Multipass. Chicken. Chicken.
Chicken.
What are we doing?